Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hello and welcome to Girl on Fire podcast on the Believe Network, New York's number one podcast network for personal growth. This is your host, Kirsten Franklin. So guys, on this week's episode, we have a former professional athlete turned business coach who happens to be the proud father of two lovely girls. And he has come to talk to us today about generational habits. So please welcome Jeremy Herriter. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Love what you're doing. Love the message. So I'm glad that we get to connect and chat a little bit.
Yeah. And I love it. I love it. And you know, what's really funny is people will probably be like, why is she having this dude on her show? They do the same thing. And I'm all about it. Like, I'm all about building the network, having people, you know, building your tribe, right? You have to be around the people that do what you do. Do it right. At your level, above your level, you know? So I'm really happy to have you on. So I have a question before we even get into your background. What are generational habits?
So let's go back for real. So we're all leaving something to the people around us. Those of you that are listening that don't have children, right? It's like, okay, you know, I don't have children, so this doesn't affect me, but it absolutely does. And the reason is I'm there's a great Jim Rohn quote that says, you know, you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. And that also means your habits, right? And so in your life, if you want more wealth, then get around people who are wealthier and doing things with wealth that you don't understand or know. Be that student. If you want to get fitter, hang around five people fitter than you as much as possible and watch what happens to your habits. Watch what you start to choose. And generational habits is the same thing. It's what is handed down from generation. And as you know, life changes quickly. We're in a day today, especially coming out of the pandemic, depending on what your industry is, has changed drastically, right? It's only going to keep changing. So the habits have to change. And there's most people hear generational wealth. And what happens though in generational wealth is the truth of generational wealth is most of it is gone by that second or third generation. And the reason that happens is because the habits that it took to build that wealth are not what are passed down. The wealth is passed down. And when I don't have the habits to actually maintain it or even grow it, then it literally goes away. And so our platform, what I want to be able to do is help people understand that you're leaving something behind right now, whether you have children or you don't have children, you're leaving it with your friends, you're leaving it with your coworkers. What are the habits that you are using to either get what you want or that have put you in a position that maybe not you necessarily don't want, right? And habits truly stack.
Yeah.
So you don't get, I mean, our country, we are obese, right? And I say obese, and I don't just mean how much weight each person is holding. I mean that if you think about it in the same way, it's how we think, it's what we consume, not just, we have obese minds that are just blah, like, ugh, like what is happening, right? And so
totally. How
do we change that? And it starts with us. So when I talk about generational habits, I talk about, it starts with us. You have to be the difference. And you know, you see it all the time. You've heard people say this, and this is not new, but on an airplane, I love it, right? They say when the cabin pressure changes and that mask drops, do not turn even to put it on your child before you put it on yourself. Because if it drops that fast and you haven't done it for yourself yet, you become the problem on that aircraft.
Yep.
Because it's going to go and you're trying to help people without helping yourself. But how many of us in life every day are just doing things and we're not helping ourselves?
Yeah. And you can't give what you don't have.
Right. 100%, right? Like, you're not going to go to the gym and go to the, you know, plop down that money, right? You know, those people like New Year's resolution, and they walk in and they're like, all right, this is the year, 6-pack, 50 pounds, bikini body, you know, whatever that those terms are. Right. Now imagine for a second, you walked in and you saved your money, right? You really planned for this and you drop it on that table and you're like, all right, I'm ready to make a change. This is it. Enough is enough. Here we go. And they go, okay, Jeremy, great. And then the guy coming around the corner, you know, is 100 pounds overweight with a Big Mac and a Coke in his hand. And he's like, all right, come over here. Let me show you what to do. You know what I mean? I'll be grabbing my, that's easy to notice and go, probably don't want that. I'm right? out, right?
Exactly.
It's easy to identify that. But how many times in our lives are we that person? Are we the person that's trying to help people and we're not even doing it ourselves?
Yeah.
How much? Yeah. That's where generational habits is. That's what optimal self, you know, the best version of you. It's not the best version of me. It's not the best version of you. It's you and I. I'm going to learn from you today. That's what makes these so exciting, is because I come into here not to give as much as I can, whatever people need, whatever the audience wants to hear, not what I want to say. But on top of that, I get to learn too.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. Right. So, you know, the best version of you is inside of you. We want to help you unleash it. We want to help you bring that out, because more of that is what this world needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, obviously you have a really interesting background from being a professional athlete in more than one sport, to, you know, it's my understanding what you're doing with the Keller Williams VIP is really kind of like, for lack of a better term, like performance or productivity coaching, 100%. Right? Like, okay.
Yes.
And then you've started this Optimal Self podcast, which I love the concept. I'm loving it. Just wrote a book that I'm pimping out to, publishers,
yeah.
Right? And it's becoming uneffable. But the whole point is, you know, uneffable isn't being a douche. It's like being so secure in yourself and being so true to yourself and figuring that out, that all this stuff really doesn't bother you. Right. And I really had to do that. I got slammed publicly, like in the papers, and all this craziness happened back to me. In 2008, became a homeless single parent with a newborn baby for the first time ever. Yeah. And talk about, you know, and my whole idea of myself was built on, really, I'm just going to be honest, like money, success, like that outward success. Like I was a lawyer. I never lost a case in my life. I was so fucking fancy. Right. But, but when that shit hit the fan and people were like verbally killing me, if not actually wanting to kill me, because that, you know, that energy of media comes at you and you're like, dude, I don't even know you. Like, they have nothing to do with you. Right. And it's like, what the damn. Right. And it's like, that's when you, after you get past suicidal ideation, that's when you get to, hey man, I'm cool. This is okay. I start to build yourself, but you really learn who the hell you really are. And if you didn't, lesson lost, man, lesson lost. And it's going to come again until you figure that shit out, you know?
Definitely.
But so I love what you're doing. So, you know, give me a little bit about the background, right? Because I mean, this obviously plays into who you've become yourself today. So tell me how all of that lent itself to what you're doing today with Optimal Self.
Right. Okay. So we got to go back quite a bit. So I'd like to share, you know, a little bit with people. I'll be very quick with that is, you know, my mom was 15 when she got pregnant, you know, as she was babysitting, and my dad came over when they were kids, right? 15 years old. And so the rest is kind of history. And his father before him was an alcoholic, you know, died an alcoholic, you know, literally with a beer in his hand when they found him sitting on a lounge chair in his apartment. Right. And so, and honestly, I don't know where he is today, but he was an alcoholic, drug addict, you know, was abusive to my mom and us. And they had actually two kids together after that. And my mom, you know, in the middle of the night up and took us out, like picked us up and said, we're out of here. Like, and we never went back. And thank God, because, you know, who knows what would have happened at that time of his life and what he was. And so I was raised by my mom, and she only had sisters, three sisters, and Nana and Papa. Pop was the only man at that time, early on. And so I was raised by the women, and it takes a village, it takes a tribe, it takes all those things. But it gives that affiliation for me. And then I'm blessed with two daughters. Right. And so my life has been, it's been up and down for sure. The childhood, I don't want to paint any rough pictures. There's people that had it way worse than we did, with his abuse and all that kind of stuff. There's people out there right now listening to this that have tenfold what I could ever say. Right. And so it's not a comparison or anything like that, but it's just important to know, today, when you say those things, when you go, oh, you've done this and you played professional baseball and you want to get the CrossFit Games, and now you run, a company that did over $500 million in volume last year, like all those things that sound really cool today that most societal things deem success, right, is just that little bit sticking out of the water. Right. Yeah. But you're above the water. You don't see anything that's down below that iceberg. You don't see all those things. And There's a couple major turning points in my life, and that prompted what I have today, or optimal self, and being around people. I said this in the beginning, you're some of the five people that you hang around, and that goes with, what you learn. You have to get outside of that bubble from now and then, right? And you've got to, everything that I've learned from people, I want to give back. I don't want to go to my grave with the things that were given to me by others inside of me. It's my duty to,
it's not meant to be.
No, it's turned around, and I gotta give it. It's time to give back, man. It's time, yep, to literally let go and not, I don't hide anything from anybody. Like even the business stuff, mm-hmm, I'll talk with people, give me shit all the time. Cause I'll tell you exactly what I do. Exactly. I mean, day to day, because you know what I do know? Most people won't do it. You know what I, yes, mean? Everybody wants to be a millionaire until they know what it takes, right? Yep. Everybody wants to eat. Nobody wants to hunt, right? All these things, like, it's so true. But I'll give you one thing, Kirsten, because I think this is important for the audience to understand, is there's these times in our lives where we get challenged. So my goal in life, from the time, you can ask my mom will tell the story. When I came out of the womb, she said my first word was baseball. Like, it was that, like, that's all I was going to do. When you asked me, I was going to be a baseball player, but I wasn't the biggest. I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the kid that made all the all-star teams. I wasn't the kid that, you wanted me on your team because you knew I was going to be there, and you knew I was going to hustle, and you knew I was going to play hard, but I wasn't big, fast, strong, better than everybody else. Right. I was a very little kid. I was a late bloomer in the world of adulthood. And so, but my 13-year-old year, it's a very important time in my life. A 13-year-old, you guys, everybody probably knows these years, right? These adolescent years when we get, and our team won the championship. Not only did we win the championship, but the coach was my best friend's dad. So I thought, for sure, he gets to pick the last two kids that are going to be on the all-star team. And I thought, for sure, we won the championship. I played really well that year. Man, I'm going to get picked. He's going to pick me, right? Because I believed our relationship, right? That he was like a dad to me, that he would just give me that honor, right? That was my thought, right? Oh, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my name wasn't announced at those closing ceremonies. And it was devastating. And then you all go to this little pizza party after, right? And everybody's celebrating. We won the championship and we had trophies and all the all-star kids were there and all those things. And I walked over to him and I asked him, and I tugged on his shirt, and he looked at me. He's like, "What's up, son?" And I said, How come I didn't make all-stars? How come you didn't pick me?" Mm-hmm. He looked me dead in the eye. I promise you this. I'm 50 years old today. I was 13 years old. I could tell you what he was wearing. I could tell you what I was wearing. I could tell you what that place smelled like. Still to this day, that vivid is in there. It's still inside of me. That boy is still there. And he looked me dead in the eye. And he said, "Cause you weren't good enough." Now, I know what that sounds like. And yes, does that crush a 13? Yes, it does. I was crushed. But I ran to the phone. I said, "Please, mm-hmm, can I please use the phone? Please, please, please," beg the little lady behind the counter. She handed that phone over and dialed the number for me. I said, "Mom, please come and get me." She said, "You're supposed to stay the night." I said, "Please, please, please, please. I'm begging you, please come get me." She said, "What is going on?" I said, "Just come." She said, fine, I'm on my way. I didn't even go back in. I hung the phone up. I snuck out the side and I literally sat on the curb right outside the door until she got there. She pulled up. I jumped in the car and I got in that car and then the tears were just flowing. Right. And she's like,
yeah.
Jeremy, what is going on? What is wrong with you? And I said, please just go, just go, just go. And she said, she's like, I'm not moving this car until you tell me. Right. Those of you that are parents probably don't say, right. And I told her, and of course, what is any parent, especially moms? She's like, what? He said, what? I go, please do not go in there. It's embarrassing already. I'm already embarrassed enough. Please, 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 please. Here's the turning point. The greatest question my mom ever asked me in the history of my life, the greatest question, I don't even know that she knew what she was doing. But again, mm-hmm. she looked me right in the eye and she said, look at me. She said, what do you want to do? And that was the change, right? Again, I'll ask anybody out there. Yeah, shit hits the fan. Yeah, things aren't good. But the milk is spilled. You can leave it there and it's going to get rotted and it's going to stink and it's going to be whatever. Or you can clean that shit up and let's roll, right? And she looked at me, 13 years old, and she said, what do you want to do? And I live in Southern California. I don't know if they have these all over wherever you're listening, but our major sporting goods out here in those days was called Big Five. And I said, Mom, will you please take me to Big Five? And she looked at me like she was like, what? Like, you know, kids, like, she's like, you don't want to go get ice cream. You don't want to go get a toy at, you know, Target. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, I said, can we please go to Big Five? And she did. She drove over and we walked. She's like, what are we doing here? And I said, please, come on, come on, come on. We walk in. Same thing I told you before about the vision. I can still see that sign. It was on sale. Said $19.99. It was big and it was yellow because it was on and it was a batting tee. That batting tee. And I said, will you please buy me one of those? She's like, $20? Like, yeah, that's gonna make you happy. That's gonna be okay, right? Like any parent, like you give your kid, like, okay, fine, you can watch that show or whatever. That's basically what it was. She was like, here. And I made a deal with myself in that day. I said, every single day I'm gonna hit 100 balls off this thing. Put that thing in the backyard, and every day I would get up and I would go out there and I would hit 100 balls off it. I wouldn't let myself go to the movies with friends. I wouldn't let myself. I just knew that no one was ever going to tell me I wasn't good enough because I didn't put in the work. Because I will be mm-hmm. honest with you, all I had done up to that point in my life is show up to practice on time, be there on time, play hard when they asked me to play hard. There was nothing done outside of that. The life is born on the things when no one's watching. Your success is born when nobody else is looking, when the lights aren't on, when they don't tell you to do it, right? So, but here's what I want people to understand. Just because I did that whole year, nothing really changed. 14, didn't make the all-star team, started high school, barely made the high school team, sat on the bench the whole year. I was basically getting the water and things like that. Same thing. Then the next year I got to play, but I didn't, you know, I mean, I wasn't a difference maker. Again, let's go 5 years later. Now I'm 18 years old. I'm a senior in high school. I grew a little bit, got a little bit stronger. And I never stopped hitting those balls off that tee. Never. Actually, to the point where, remember what I said, you're the sum of the five people. My friends at first were like, dude, let's just go, right? Come on, just go. By that time, they were wanting to come over and hit with me. We started, you know what I mean? They were asking to join in. My senior year, I led the state in hitting. I got a scholarship to go play college. Went on to play at Gonzaga University, became an all Pac-10 infielder at Gonzaga, got to go play for the Reds and the Diamondbacks. Okay, all that's the history, right? But what I want people to understand is that we way overestimate what we can do by doing it one or two and then a year. We completely underestimate how we can change our lives in the next 4, 5, or 10. And that's a true statement, right? You've probably heard that many times, but it is so true if you really dig into it. And so I want people to know is that one of the greatest days of my life was all those kids that were on that all-star team. Here's what I want people to know. I know he said, oh, I wasn't good enough. Well, there's 12 teams with 20 kids on there. So there's 100 and something kids in this league. 15 make the all-star team, right?
Right.
So even if I was the 16th best out of 120 kids, that's a pretty good number, right? You're the 16th best out of 100. That's a pretty... You're still not good enough for that team. That's true. what he told me was very true, that there were 15 other kids that were better than me. And that was real. And I had to accept that. What I also had to accept is that you don't get shit for free. You don't get shit because he's your dad. He's your second dad, right? That's how most of us live our lives. We think we deserve something that we haven't earned.
Right.
But I can tell you this, there was a day in a professional baseball game that seven of those 15 kids that were on that all-star team, because we all still friends, those guys are still my friends to this day. They all bought a ticket to come watch me play baseball. Right. At 13, they were better than me. At 18, 19, 22, 20. Nope, they weren't. They were all on to different jobs. And I was running on and off baseball fields doing what I loved, because I was hitting balls when no one was watching, because I was doing things that nobody else was willing to do. And again, anybody has told you you're not good enough, what they're really saying is you're not good enough yet. If you're willing to put in the time, energy, and effort, you're just not good enough yet. Keep going. If it's your dream, if it's your goal, keep going. Dig in, find to do the shit when no one's watching.
Yes.
That's what's going to get you there. That's what's going to build it. And just, and don't expect anything in return. Just keep doing it, because it'll catch up. That technique,
yeah.
That work catches up at some point.
Yeah. And you kind of alluded it to earlier. It's that micro habit, right? It's the small things. So that's why I always say the incremental will get you the exponential.
Very well said.
You don't see it. It's like a Nike swoosh. It's like, oh, I'm stuck in this weird swirly shit. I don't know what I'm doing. It's confusing. You're telling me you got to do it every day. I'm doing it. I don't understand. Bam. All of a sudden that 18 month mark hits, and all of a sudden you made $1 million. But those first few months, we're like, this is bullshit. Oh my God, everything I do doesn't work. We've all been there,
yes.
Right? We all think we're going to go buy the magic bullet thing. And we're just like, yeah, they said we're going to do $1 million a month. Right. And like, yeah, I've gotten my clients there really easy, especially in real estate,
right?
Like $1 million a month, not a problem. Right. Are you going to be the one to do it? That means, are you going to fucking listen to me? Zip the brain. Let's work on that shit, because we all have shit. I mean, I have personal coaches. Do you work with personal coaches?
In every aspect of my life. Every aspect.
Yes. Yeah.
Not one.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. I was like, you don't need just one, right? At one point I had five and it was golden.
Of course. Right.
And so, yeah. 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 So, I mean, it really is. I don't care what it is you do. It's the decision. Am I drinking the Diet Coke, even though I know it's going to freaking cause me cancer, but I really just like it? Or am I going to suck it up and drink the water? This one moment, that's all that matters. Get through the one moment. It's like alcoholism, drug addict. Just get through the, don't think about the future. Don't think about the past. And if you could erase who you think you are in that moment and what you think you're going to do, you're going to do the right thing.
That's right.
You're just going to do the right thing. Right. And that's what I love what you're doing with optimal self, because when you envision your optimal self, you can live it so much easier every day, right?
Yes. Life becomes so much easier. We call it optimal self. I call it 100 or nothing, because most people think that, oh, I'm good 99% of the time. That's not enough. Cause that means there's a crack already.
Yep.
Already. And that little crack, it's going to grow. And before you know it, you're going the opposite way of what you ever wanted. Give 100 to what you're doing, right? Like just that moment, you're spot on, because people don't understand when you're clear, right? I say another thing is people don't lack motivation. That's what I get all the time. Man, Jeremy, how do you stay motivated? How do you keep your energy up? And I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, because I do the shit I love to do. I love to do this. Like, and I make, even if it's stuff, I don't love to go to the gym. I don't love to get up at 6 a.m. and go sling weight. Like, there are days that I do. Like, once I get going, yeah, I'm in it. But when I'm under those covers and it's freezing cold outside and it's time to get up, no, I want to fucking lay there. I want to pull those things up. And trust me, that voice is like, dude, you went so hard yesterday. You're a little sore. Just today, one day's okay, right? But it's not. It's not. And the moment you understand, so people don't lack motivation. They lack clarity. When you get clear on something, anybody on here right now, anybody listening, think of something in their life that they were dead set on. And I guarantee you made time to make that happen. You did.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I don't have time. Bullshit. You don't make time. It's not that important to you. It's not. It's really not. And that's the reason. And I'll give you this. It's really, when I opened the gym, years ago. And one of the things that I said in that gym, it was a CrossFit gym. It was a hybrid CrossFit gym because we did some weight loss stuff and we did different things. You know, people think CrossFit is all these different things. We just used some of the methodology. I wasn't just trying to be like, you know, CrossFit anyways. And I used to do an assessment with everyone who walked in. We had a weight loss program. And honestly, it was like 80% women, actually probably more. At one point it was like 90% women. Every 9 out of 10 people that were in that class was a woman. And the majority of them were moms who had poured into their families and let themselves go for the most part, right?
They got a roll.
So they're eating out all the time or they're driving through and they put on weight that they don't want anymore. Most of the time they would come in and be like, I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to lose 50 pounds, whatever. But when I would sit down, we would do an assessment. I would ask a lot of questions, you know, injuries, those kind of things, making sure they can move properly, what their background was, just so we can make sure that as they entered into the program, that we started them where that's going to be beneficial so that they would come back tomorrow. And we don't just smash you and you're so sore and you hate yourself that you never come back. Right. Consistency is the key. I need you to come back tomorrow. Right. Like, so, but at the end I would do this. I would say, close your eyes. You told me you wanted, and I'm going to give you a very specific woman in this because she's just amazing. And I gave her, and I said, okay, and I would do this with everybody, but I said, close your eyes. And on my little sheet, she had said, she was about 100 pounds overweight. She wanted to lose 80 pounds. Okay. And so I said, okay, your goal that you gave me was lose 80 pounds. Okay. Now I want you to close your eyes. I want you to vision her with those 80 pounds off of her. I want you to envision yourself. I want you standing in that mirror. You're getting ready to go either on a date with your husband. You pick whatever it is. It doesn't matter. What is she wearing? What dress does she have on? What earrings does she have on? What is her hair? Is her hair up? Is it down? What perfume are you wearing? Like what shoes are there? Those Jimmy Choos that you've been dying to, you know, like ever go down the list of things. I want you to see her because if you can't see her, then there's no way to get there. There's nothing I can do. I don't have a magic bullet. I don't have a secret sauce. I don't have any of that shit. If you can't see her, you won't be here. You will fail out of this program. You will leave. You won't show up. You'll talk yourself out of it. All those things. And I will tell you, probably 8 out of 10 would literally start crying. And if you weren't moved to tears by what that girl looked like in her or person, if there was a man in front of me, but most of them were women. And if you were not moved to tears, if you didn't feel it emotionally, then I knew that that goal meant jack shit to you. And this lady opened her eyes and she said, okay, yeah, okay. Like just kind of nonchalant, right? I said, well, what color of dress was she wearing? She's like, I said, no. That's not it. Because if you know it's a black dress, it's already hanging in my closet, or I saw it at Macy, whatever. Like if you don't have that, then I know that goal means nothing to you. So I said, we got to change. I said, we can't go forward. She's like, why? I said, because doesn't mean shit to you. If you can't see her, I said, what is it really that drives you? What is it really? And there might be people that have heard this before. She goes, you know what? And she got all pissed off and I loved it. She's like, I was one of the only girls in gym class since I was in sixth grade, all the way through high school, that could never do a pull-up. I see girls out there right now, right there in the gym that could do a pull-up. And I was like, okay, keep talking. She's like, I want to pull my fat ass up over that bar. I want to do a pull-up. And I was like, yo, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's the shit we can get behind. Now, listen, that pull-up, like what you talked about, the micro, right? Now our goal is simple. That it's the pull-up. But in order for that to happen, you're going to have to get some strength. You're going to have to lose some weight, right? All the things that are going to go along with that. But now we got something that moves your ass. Now I got something that will get you out of bed and get in here because I am done being the one person that can't do it, right? So we used to have this chalkboard wall and I sent her out there. I said, get your ass out there and I want you to write that on the wall. Take this, you know, get a piece of chalk and you get to write your goal. Everybody who ever walked in there would write a goal on there because I only want one. Don't give me a bunch of shit because you too many things and you're not going to do any of them, right?
Yep.
So she goes out there and she writes her name on that wall. She writes do an effing pull up, right? So for the next, I mean, we planned a whole year, but we had this whole thing because one of her shoulders was bad. So we worked on some articulation so that she moved right. Her scap, you know, would move right, all those things. And about 6 months in, by the way, she's down at this point about 45, 50 pounds. She goes in and she comes in and she is like skipping in, right? Like boop, boop, boop. I'm like, what's up? Like, this is awesome, right? I'm teaching. There's a 6 o'clock class and a 7 o'clock class. She comes in, it's a 6 o'clock class. She goes, today's the day. I was like, I'm looking, I'm like, what is today, right? I'm like, is this a special day? Like, she goes, oh, no, I think I'm ready for a pull-up. And I was like, oh, really? All right. I know what workout's on the board because I wrote that shit. And I'm like, okay, she's going to be super fatigued at the end of this thing. So we got to do this thing first. I said, are you sure? She's like, yes. I said, now we got to make, are you sure? Like, if it doesn't happen, are you still going to stay motivated with me? She's like, absolutely. She's like, today's the day though. Today is the day. And I was like, wow. Okay. Go over, get your shoulder stuff done, get all warmed up. I'm going to warm up the class. And before we start the actual workout, she's going to do a separate workout just to make sure her warm up, right? She knows what to do for articulation and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, range of motion. She comes back over, class stops. Somebody walks over and turns the music off. They kind of gather around, right? Now we got an audience. And I mean, she jumps up there. She grabs that bar and she starts pulling. She gets a little bit sticky. And then all of a sudden, it literally looks like somebody pushes her up and she goes, wham. And she's up over that bar. Her eyes get this big. She fucking drops down. She comes running over. She bear hugs me, jumps legs around me. Oh my God. Oh my God. Everyone's cheering. She looks at, she says, we catch eyes. We both start crying. I'm like, holy shit. She runs back over, takes a couple deep breaths. She does like 3 or 4 more pull-ups. Unbelievable. Nice. Unbelievable. Right. So here's it. And again, it goes back to what you said. I wanted to share that because it wasn't about losing the weight. The weight meant jack shit to her. Like, everybody thinks that's the thing, but it's not. That's not, it may be for some people, but for her, we have to get to what it really, truly is. That's a girl from the sixth grade. What are you, 12 years old in the sixth grade that is still harboring the fact that I couldn't do something at, now she's a mom of two. You know what I mean? Like, how long in our lives are we harboring this shit that we never just deal with and be like, all right, let's go fix it. Let's go talk about it. Yep. Let's go make some change. Because I'm going to tell you right now, no joke, she inspired so, there were so many other women in that class that she became the poster child where people were like, fuck that. I want to do a pull up, right? Like, they just got, they got excited. They started rallying around each other. Right now, you inspire people by your greatness. Stop holding it in, right? Like, yeah. You got to be the person. You got to put that mask on. You got to lead by example, not by words. Like, get your ass up and do it and prove to yourself, live in your own integrity. And what I'll say to people in this regard too, which comes back to why Optimal Self is built, because that night I got done, all the classes got done. And I was sitting down doing the business stuff, right? How many people came in and checking whose credit cards didn't work, you know, all the business stuff, doing all the reconciliation of the day, which I do every single night. And I am on fire. Like, my insides, like, I was like, it's the greatest feeling you could truly ever feel. And I'm a journaler. So I have journals right now taking notes for you and I talking, but and so I was like, man, so I just grabbed my journal, stopped what I was doing on the business stuff. And I started just writing it out of my head. Cause I was like, what am I feeling? I'm like, this is amazing seeing her do this. And true story, how Saren is that afternoon was when I would train. I would train around noon. Okay. Cause I would do real estate all morning. I'd come around lunchtime or a little bit towards the afternoon. I would work out and then I would run the gym at night. Right. And I had somebody running the morning. And that day, and on that same board, my goal was a 500 pound deadlift, weigh 180. That day I weighed 181 pounds. And the same day at 12:30 in the afternoon, I pulled 500 off the ground. And again, guys that I trained with, man, we were high-fiving, chest bumping. And literally I walked over to that wall, crossed out the 500 and I wrote 550. So it literally lasted about 10 seconds before I was like, all right, on to the next goal, right? On to the next thing. Mm-hmm. those are accomplishments, right? It's an accomplishment. And again, was it great? Sure. But it was gone in like 10 seconds.
Right.
That day, watching her, and to this day, years later, I can run into her at the grocery store and it's still that same smile, that same hug, maybe not her legs up around me because we're in public, but like that same hug, how are you? What's going on? Like, as I sold the gym a few years later and anyways. And so then I'm sitting there that night and it really dawns on me is that accomplishment was me pulling 500 pounds off the ground. Like that was cool, but it was on to the next goal. Fulfillment was helping somebody else attain their goal. And that's now, man, that's all I crave. I crave it like a drug, man. Like, who can we help? How can we help them? What can we do? Because it's literally a drug that it's literally a feeling that I never want to go away. And I want to keep that going. And so I hope people can really truly understand is accomplishment is good. Have goals, all those things. But fulfillment may not come if you've accomplished things, if you've made $1 million, if you've got that car you wanted, or if you live at that address that you've always wanted and it feels empty, it's because it's accomplishment, not fulfillment.
Yeah.
And those are the things that we got to start talking about and being aware of. And find the things that mean something to you. This may not be it for you, right? What I do, but you'd be like, that's crazy. I don't want to do that shit. That's okay. We got to find, that's why it's the best version of you, not the best version of me. I'm not telling you to do what I do. I'm not telling you to do what you do. That's not what we are. We're going to find what's important to you so that you can now build and find and have that. And just for the caveat, not only does she lose 100 pounds, she now is an avid runner and her kids are like these great track stars because they watch their mom do it, right? Because she inspired them. It's super. They both got scholarships to college based on watching their mom, you know, lose this weight, and she was going to the track and they would go watch. And next thing you know,
generational habits she just built, right? Something new.
Love it, where it comes from, baby. That's where it comes from. Yes.
So I have next level for you, Jeremy, okay, because you're talking about what you do and how fulfilling it is. And I love that. Same here. Obviously, we do the same thing.
Right.
I don't know if you know who Dr. Michael Beckwith is. He's out there, obviously, in California, founder of the Agape.
I don't know who he is. I know of him. I don't know him.
Okay. So I'm loving it because I'm listening to you talk and I'm just like, for him, like the next level in being that conduit is actually understanding that your fulfillment comes from within, mm-hmm, right? Because sure, we have these stages of like the cognizant, where a lot of people are, like a lot of people are at the, oh, I watched The Secret. I know that, right? Oh yeah. Kirsten, you know what? I used to do that 10 years ago. I really know all about that. Cool, man. What do you do today? Oh, I don't know. Fucking think about it when you mention it. I don't know, right?
Yeah,
it's like, that's, and so I get true, it, man. Switch stuff out, like, but don't give it up. Like, don't give up. So many of the people I work with at the, I'll call it the mom and pop level. So I work with high level executives that run, you know, 9-figure businesses. I work with professional athletes, right? NFL, NBA. Recently, I picked up some Major League Soccer guys. Here's the thing. When I work with people who are just starting out, just starting their business, they're just really looking into entrepreneurship or just even looking at becoming an executive or doing something at a different level. It's interesting because what I've noticed is that they're at that knowing stage. They've read a lot. They've heard a lot. They really feel it and they really do know it. But there's a disconnect. There's a little bit of a gap between knowing something and doing something. And I have a 12-year-old daughter and man, I piss her off every second of every day because she says to me, when I'm like, oh yeah, hey, hon, you didn't give the bunnies their crunchies, right? She has two bunny rabbits running around a Manhattan apartment. And she's like, oh yeah, I know. And my only response is, I don't care what you know, I care what you do. Right? That pisses her off to no end because now, you know, little girls, I know, and I'm going to do it. Okay.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah. So here's a fun fact from you is you were actually in the movie Moneyball, right?
Was, yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I happen to be friends with David Meltzer. I know David Meltzer, who was the CEO of that agency that Billy worked for. And I actually happen to know Billy from Miami. When I was living in Miami, he used to hang out there a lot. And one of my good friends is very good friends with him. So we would run into each other all the time.
Great
Smith
dude.
Smith & Walensky's down, down at South Point where I live. So that was funny. I was like, what? I was like,
great dude, I spent quite a long time with, because he was on set every day, you know? It was fun. And you want to talk about a hard worker, man. That dude is a grinder. A hard worker, man. So good dude.
Even still to this day, man.
I bet. I mean, that doesn't go away for most, you know what I mean? Especially a guy like that, man, it doesn't go away.
Well, here's what's funny is, you know, people say, I love it, because a lot of times, even with law partners who are doing like $5 million a year, right? Like, I'm gonna make enough and I'm gonna do this thing. And I'm just like, they see their happy end result, and their happy end result is always like, yo, I'm like in Polynesia drinking Mai Tais on the beach, pushing buttons, making money. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. I mean, like, if that's really what you want to do, that's easy.
Sure.
But the funny thing is, and you've probably experienced this, you probably thought like, oh yeah, I'll do this. But actually, in the process of learning the work and the structure and the habits of how to do it, and then start accomplishing, it's like almost a drug in and of itself. It's like, oh, well, and like you said, that's not the goal. It was like an accomplishment. Move on to the next, right? Yeah. So you just keep going. You don't stop. It's like the craziest thing, isn't it?
It's very crazy. And people, I mean, there's a lot of people around you that don't understand it. Trying to articulate that to, especially family, right? Because you and I can talk about it. People around me, I can talk about it all day with, because a lot of the people that I'm surrounded by are very similar, right? Because different industries, different things, but we can feed off each other, but they understand it. They're like, yeah, man, I get it. Family, my mom still asked me, wait, why are you still working? Why are you still doing that? Wait, why are you starting this? Like another one? Right. Like, she asked me one day, when is it enough? And I was like, what do you mean by it? I was like, I don't even know what that means. Like, what am I supposed to do? Okay. You've made money and you made enough money and now I can just go sit around and do nothing. Like it's not in me. It's just not in me.
It's interesting. That whole generation, like my dad's 77, and I think it was finally, maybe this year, maybe it was last year, but he finally stopped asking me what I do and if I was going to get a job. I'm like, I own the job. I employ people. Like, what are you talking about? Right. And he spent a really long time really mad at me. So somebody I was dating gave me the book, The 48 Laws of Power. I hadn't heard about it. You know, it's an old New York Times bestseller. And this gentleman, you know, he IPO'd, he did a lot of really cool stuff. And he said, this is the book you need to read, Jerson. Like, I think this is great for you. So I took it. I'm on my way to my dad's out in Jersey, and he's looking at this book. And he picks it up, I guess, when I'm not around. And he doesn't say anything. He's old school. He's like, you know, very reserved, you know, when he wants to be. But, you know, not an emotional dude, right? So one day he's like upset with me about something. He goes, yeah, and you know what? I've been holding on to this for years. I even wrote you an email but didn't hit send. So I just stopped him. And I said, you know what? It's fine, man. Hit send. Let me know what you're feeling.
Yeah.
He was pissed off that I was loving this book, 48 Laws of Power, because he misinterpreted its purpose, right? It's almost Machiavellian and like, everyone's a douchebag, become a douchebag, right? But it's not really about that. It's talking about the environment. Like, you have to understand the environment you negotiate with, or you can't possibly win, right? So it was talking about those 48, you know, laws, so to speak, of what this environment is working in, and what the average person here is probably thinking, behaving, and acting like, and why I need to know that. And it was so funny because he just didn't get it. Like, and he's a writer and he owns a publishing company, and even still, seeing New York Times bestseller, he just assumed, just because Wall Street douchebags can have a bestseller doesn't mean you should be loving it, right? Like, that makes you a douchebag. And I'm just like, but he literally sat internally thinking his daughter was a complete a-hole, turning into some kind of a-hole, right? Because she's reading this book and raving about, oh my God, yeah, this, my boyfriend loves this book. This is the great book. Like, you know, he's doing well, this book. And for like years, like, he literally wrote me an email and didn't push send. And I'm reading this email and I'm like, wow, it's really fucking interesting, dude. But, you know, so reserved, like, I would never have known it on the outside. He just kept it all inside, but it's interesting.
It really is.
It was really, really interesting how people operate. But our parents, like, they don't, and you know what? We have to accept that, as open as we think we are and as cool as we think we are to our kids, we're not going to get it either.
No,
you know, and that's okay.
No, you know, are you kidding? They could give two shits what I have to say. Like,
I got this one. I got, Mom, I know what you do for a living, but that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it's funny. I even when I was when my oldest was younger, she came home one day and she said, Dad, because I never pushed them to athletics. Said, you got to do something, right? But because I was a baseball player, the last thing I want to do is push that on them in some way. But when she came home and she said, Dad, I want to play softball. And I was like, inside, I was like, yes, right? And her friend at that time, it was like the fifth grade or something, was a softball player. And they, were having a great time together. And, in the afternoons, they couldn't hang out because she was going to softball practice. So she was like, well, I'll just join her at softball practice, right? That's what my daughter thinks. And I said, great, let's get rolling. I'll get you signed up. We got to go get balls. I said, get out back. We're throwing, we're going to learn how to. And she's just like not even having it. She comes home. And so they have their first practice and she comes home, right? I was there. So we get home and she goes, I want to go to Mr. So-and-so's house for batting practice. I was like, oh, okay. They're holding a batting practice. And he's like, no, he's the batting coach. And I was like, wait, who is it? Oh, he's the science teacher at the junior high. And I was like, okay, well, what's his background? I don't know that he didn't play baseball. He just has a batting cage. And so he coaches kids on how to hit. I'm like, they used to pay your dad money to hit.
No, you didn't baseball. Say that. No.
Like, I've done this my whole life. Like, wait, I'm going to send you to the science teacher's house to learn how to hit? Like,
to learn improper form.
Wait a minute. Like, but again, the cool part about that was that coach ended up not being able to coach, not that guy, but their coach of her team. And so they actually called me and asked me, like, every other girl on that team was dying to come and learn and play and get coached, right? They're like,
not your child.
My child. I mean, she's rolling her eyes in the back, not even, he didn't wants nothing to do with it, right? It's like, it's hilarious, but it's all true. You know what I mean? It's like, but that, so let's go back to the generational habits, right? Is like, so now I just got to do, I can't say, right?
Yes.
Because, yes. And I say this all the time, I say this on my podcast, I've had this, is like, look, if you're the person right now that is telling your kid to go make their bed, and when they walk by your room and your bed's not made, why the hell should they? Why? Yeah, just because you're the parent? Like, no, man, we gotta earn the right just as much, right? We don't. I'm never gonna tell her to do something, or either one of them to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do myself, or that I'm not doing. Like, if I do it over and over and over and over, if every day they came by and they saw that my bed was made, it's the first thing I do when I get up every single day, then, hopefully that habit rolls on. Because look, when you get home and you walk into your bedroom, it's not a disaster. It's like, okay, shit's put away. Things are picked up. Like, I had a bad day, but it, it's fun to come home to nice things, right? Like, but they don't, again, they're not going to do it because you say it. They're going to do it because you do it. Over and over and over, not one time, over and over and over and over. And
they learn, Like, I know one time I was coming out of the upstate place, Arenda, with a colleague, and we're putting on a mastermind. And he and I, we're both obviously coaches, we're having this conversation, and my daughter's in the back, and I don't know how old she is. She's 12 now. So maybe she was like 8 or 9. And we're trying to figure out this day. Like, we're just like, how are we going to make extra money? We have to lay down a helipad because, no one's going to take the trip. We didn't think, take a car ride for an hour with the people you dream about and pay for that shit. No, we weren't there, right? I was like, all right, helipad, because they don't have time to fly in from New York. We'll just pick them up at the airport. We'll fly them in. Hey, okay, we're out like X number of dollars. So let's make more. And my daughter from the back just chimes in. She goes, why don't you have like a day with the experts, instead of leaving on Sunday morning after breakfast, have everybody hold over for an hour or two and everyone can sit down and just like have a one-on-one, like maybe it's a, each of them gets to go see the, and I'm just like, that came out of the back seat while we're driving home. Right. And I'm just like, yeah. And then my colleague's like, I think we have to pay her for that. And I'm just like, yeah, but she wouldn't have been able to say that if she hadn't, I, as a single mom, took her to everything. I made no excuses. And law partners here in New York City, they'll tell you, we would show up to a very expensive place for morning breakfast and tea while a partner and I had conversation, and she sat there. And if anybody ever had a problem with my daughter disrupting something or coming along, you and I, we're not working together because you don't get it. And that's a scary thing to have the balls to do that when you're looking at losing six figures. Right? Yeah. And you're looking at a whole bunch of, and mostly dudes in an industry that's built for them. They all have their wives that stay home and take care of their children. I'm not judging it. I'm just saying that when you come from a mental place where you don't get what I'm doing and you are the majority, it's a hard thing to not try and navigate that sea, you know, because you want that money. You're a single mom. You want that money. Apartments in New York, they're 500 square feet, cost $1 million. You want that money, right?
Right.
You know, but I was like, you know, at one point I was just like, and John Assaraf and Dr. Joe Vitale and Brendan Burchard, all those guys helped me have the to be able to do that. Cause they're like, if you waver, just like you were talking about your optimal self, having that vision, having absolute clarity, because when you waver from that, it's like you're wavering on your values. It's like, you can't get to the place because you're always making an exception.
That's
right. You just have a pile of shit of exceptions. So you're always trying to climb up, but you're always making that exception. So you're always sliding back down.
And then you're letting, you're spot on. And, but you know what else? You're letting the environment dictate how you respond.
Yep.
Now you're in that response. So that's a very high powered, very important situation, right? You're talking about, you know, jobs in the law firm and representation. You're talking about, things that most people are like, I don't even know what that means. I'm going to bring my kid to the PTA meeting or to the soccer. They said, don't, you know what I mean? And no, that's not what we're talking about.
We're not talking about that.
No. But here's the thing. Here's a very important part to that to kind of correlate so people that are listening can put it together is this. It's like your girlfriend's birthday at Cheesecake Factory, right? And you have a goal of, let's just go with it because we're an obese country, goal of losing weight and you're on it, right? Again, remember what we talked about. If you're 98 or 99% good, the moment you sit down there, right? In the environment, they put one piece of cheesecake, just one, right there. And they give everybody a spoon, right? You guys have all been to that party when that happens, right? We said happy birthday to her. And the person on the end does not even care. They're like, whatever. Like they're ready. They take it. Then they go to the next person. Then that person's like, well, I ate a salad, so I can have a bite, right? The other person is like, well, I worked out this morning, so that's a good reason. And now everybody, and it gets around to you, and you know damn well. Now, again, I want people to understand, is one little sliver, just a bite on that spoon, you're going to be obese and ruin everything? No.
Right.
But it's a chink in your armor because the environment is now dictating what you choose to do. But I'm telling you right now, the person that's 99, that's the 1% that they go, all the girls are doing it. I feel like it. I'm going to do it. Okay, that's fine. But just know it's going to crack. The crack is going to get bigger. But if you're 100, just like you were 100 willing, you're willing to walk away from that relationship, from that job, from that client, if they don't understand what's happening right now and why she's sitting here. There's the conviction there. If you're that convicted sitting there, you don't even do it. You're like, no, thanks. Doesn't fit with my goals. Sorry. And it's not cool. Right?
Here's the thing, but that's, you know, when you went through the process, and I actually want everyone listening to go through this process, pick the one thing that you really want and see yourself as that person who has it. Right.
Yep.
But you know what I love about the way you were telling that story is that it's not just the visual. It's the emotional. It's the energy. Mm-hmm. Right. Just like he can pull, like if he needs to motivate himself, if Jeremy needs to motivate himself, like let's say he just wants to go to the gym or something. And remember, guys, Olympic athletes work out every day for like 3.5-4 years.
For
when they don't
minute.
Feel like it for like, yeah, for 7 seconds on the track. Right. I mean, come on. Right. And their whole life depends on that. Yeah. There's Nike sponsorships, everything they've ever worked for.
So true.
Right. Is that minute? Are you kidding me? But Jeremy can come back and he can relive that story to feel that energy and motivate himself at any second. Now, what else you could do is you can you know, you can anchor that. So if you want to use an NLP technique, just anchor that feeling. So go to that place, vision who you want to be in that one goal. Don't pick 8 million effing goals, just the one freaking goal. Okay. See yourself as the ultimate success in that one goal. Feel it, the amazingness. Talk yourself through it. Anchor it. Like I anchor to myself a snap. So if you'll see me get on stage and if you see me snapping, that's because I anchored pure joy and excitement. Right. So if I don't have it when I'm walking on stage, and I'm not saying that the audience is boring, but something else might be going on, you'll see me do it. And so you can do that, but that's super important because it's like if you grew up with alcoholic parents and you are dead set, you're never drinking alcohol, right? Because that happened to me. My parents were alcoholics. They were recovering alcoholics. Half the time I didn't even know they were alcoholics, but I went to AA meetings just randomly. And like, so I heard these crazy stories and I'm like, I'm never drinking that. I mean, like, I've taught myself out of that since then, but I literally didn't drink alcohol in college when everybody else is shit faced, right? Because I had this idea in my head that I'm not a drinker. I'm not a smoker. I've never smoked cigarettes in my life, right? Two times maybe in my life, I tried the Chiba and I was like, this is dumb, right? Because I'm a speedy person, not a slow person.
I'm the same way.
Right? So oh, it's God. Like, but when you say that, do you think I give a shit if I'm around like freaking Snoop Dogg smoking a J? No, I'm not going to go sit down and smoke a J because like he's saying, 100% of me is not fucking doing it. Mm-hmm. It's that easy. So when you convince yourself that you are an athlete and you're going to get up and you're going to walk every day, if that's what you're doing, you're going to do it. If you convince yourself that you are a business owner, that you can find success, you might not have all the how-tos in your head in this moment, but you're going to find them because that's what successful people do. Right. So that's what he's talking about when he's talking about be 100%, be very, very clear. And I want you guys to do that because that's an amazing thing to do.
That clarity is priceless. It really is. And I'm going to tell you in the beginning, and you probably, I know even for myself, when in the beginning, people were like, what the hell are you doing? Right. The friends and stuff like that. Even when I was a kid with the tea, they were like, dude, let's just go, man. There's going to be girls there, right? Let's go over to the party, right? Like for real, like that. And I understand because we're all that way, you know, and I was so convicted that they eventually, this is what happens, right? And this is the same thing in our business. I've never bought a business, taken over a business and fired anybody. Never. All I do is raise the standard. Say, this is how we act. This is how we walk. This is how we talk. This is what we're going to do. And I'm going to do it as well. not anybody else. And you either rise to that standard or you find your way out. Right. I can't even tell you how many times I get these really cool resignation letters like, oh, I'm moving on and thank you. And we throw a little party for them and all that. And it's just because, no, listen, we're not doing things this way. This business was failing because that's the way they did business. We're going to turn this thing around and here's how we're going to do it. It's going to be because we're going to be better. We're going to talk. And the same thing goes with your friends, your family, all these things, right? Like I love them. My family, like I come from a big Italian crazy family that, you know, family dinners and reunions and it's wonderful. Like I love it, but that's not every day. If they don't get it, it's okay. I don't love them less. I'm not mad at my mom because she's like, you're working too hard and you should, why do you need more? You have enough. Right. I'm like, no, that's not the point. I don't care about anything else. I care about what I'm leaving. I care about the impact. I care about the legacy. I care about what I can give back. I'm not going to my grave with that, with all this song and all the things that people gave me in here.
Right.
I'm putting that shit out there. I'm putting it on. Today, we're very grateful that we have the digital marketplaces that we do and that I get to sit here with you. You're in Manhattan. I'm in California and we get to share. I get to learn. I got a half a page of notes just from conversation we're having.
Oh, me too.
Like, I love it, man. Like, how else would that happen? Maybe our paths never cross any other way. Right? And that's the same thing. This conversation is going to fall on somebody's ears somewhere. And I just hope they take one little piece and implement it. There's a ton of stuff that you said that I wrote and I'm sure vice versa.
Yep.
But again, you said it. And I say this all the time. Don't try to do it all. One thing. That's right. One thing, because here's the thing, even if you wrote that one thing, there's an 87% chance that you'll actually follow through long enough to make it happen, right? One single thing. And that was your sole focus. The moment you go to two, it drops to like 33%. Three things, forget it. It's in the single digits. Nothing gets done. You do your whole fake multitasking and half-ass everything and nothing happens. Nothing happens, or it doesn't happen long enough to win, right? That's the most people fail. Most people fail is because they just didn't do it long enough. It's not that their skill wasn't enough. It's not that they couldn't do it. It's not that they weren't good enough. They just didn't do it long enough.
And consistent enough.
Consistency. Yes. Yep. Hang in there. Like, just keep 100. Going, man. Like, and that's the problem with our society. I'd say this in all of our stuff is that we're so into immediate gratification. Like Amazon is, I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I use it. But when you try to make your life Amazon, you're going to fail because that's not how business and success works. Like, yeah, you can, you know, push your button on your phone and that shit shows up in 24 hours. Like, I get it. It's cool. It's wonderful technology. But just because you did one sit up or you did one day at the gym doesn't mean you're going to have a six pack and your diabetes is going to go away. You know what I mean? Like, no, you've got to make changes, everlasting changes, and you got to be consistent to it. You got to fall in love with delayed gratification. Fall in love with delayed gratification. Know that what I do today isn't going to show up for 90, 120 or 6 months from now or a year from now, but I'm going to keep doing it. That's the consistency that Kirsten's talking about. The consistency, stay with it. Because when you do, you know, it'll happen.
Well, all right, guys, you heard it here. I hope you check out Optimal Self. We're going to have links below so that you can reach out to Jeremy as well and connect with him on LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, his podcast. And that is it. Thank you so much for your time, Jeremy.
Oh, man. Thank you. You're awesome. You're doing such great things. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm glad that I could be part of it. I'm honored to know you. Thank you.
Same here.
So that is it for this week. Thank you for joining me. And I hope that you enjoyed today's show.
If so, don't forget to rate it. If you guys have a pressing question, feel free to tweet me at CS Thrive or on Instagram at Thrive Tribe 3.14159. Again, I know that's a weird one. It's just pi. So it's Thrive _ Tribe _ 3.14159. Or of course you can join me in Facebook at my free group, which is Thrive Tribe Global. If you just search groups and you enter in Thrive Tribe Global, you should see us there. And you can join it for free. I answer your questions in there, but if you guys send me a question through there, I will be sure to answer it here on this podcast.
And as always, if you're ever interested in advertising on the show, please contact the Believe Network at Believe, BLEAV, at Believe.com. Thanks so much for joining me.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.